What exactly is neuroplasticity, and how can understanding about neuroplasticity make a difference to us in our world? That's what we're going to unpack on this video with Dr. Susan Hillier. Before I introduce Dr. Susan Hillier, I want to introduce myself. I'm Angela. I'm a digital marketing coach for embodiment business practitioners and the host of the Let's Get Real Festival. And Dr. Susan Hillier is our keynote speaker. And I want to acknowledge the land that we are both standing on today are the traditional lands of the Kaurna people, and I respect their spiritual relationship with this country. So stay to the end because I've got something special to give away to you. Today, let me introduce Dr. Susan Hillier. How are you today?
I'm great. Susan? Thanks, Angela. Yeah, thanks for inviting me on. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's really lovely to have you as our keynote speaker. As I explained to you beforehand, I'd ask the presenters to do some research behind what they're presenting on, and you're kind of the expert and you live just down the road. We could have been in the same room for this interview. So the first question I have, you know, a lot of people are using the word neuroplasticity these mm-hmm. days, but how can understanding about it make a difference to us?
It's a great question, because you're right, it has become a really ubiquitous kind of term. And what it means really is that our brains can change. And I don't know why we think this is so surprising, but I mean, I kind of do know why we think it's so surprising, because the old version of neurology, understanding the way our nervous system works, was that it was kind of like a hardwiring thing, that we were hardwired, you know, so we were kind of inevitably like we were, and it would be difficult to change. On the other hand, we've always known that we are real learning machines, you know, especially when we're children, but we can learn at any point of life. So the understanding of neuroplasticity really helps us understand that we can learn, and through learning we can change, which means our behaviour can change. You know, and there's some things that are harder to change than others, but it gives us this possibility of thinking, well, actually I'm not, you know, I'm not like the wiring of a house. Well, maybe I am. I can get an electrician to come in and rewire. It's not impossible. So that's why it's really important that we understand that that's what it is. And it's no more, no less than that. So when people talk about it as some kind of big marketing tool, really what they're saying is we acknowledge that as individuals we can change. And then as a collective, we can change. We can change our minds is actually kind of what we're saying. So, you know, I have been known to very facetiously say to people, you know, who tell me, oh, well, I do neuroplasticity therapy. Well, I go, well, so does your music teacher. So does every time you read a book, you know, if you're affected by a book or a movie, something's changing in your brain. You know, as soon as we have a realization or we find something funny that we've never thought of before, that's neuroplasticity. So it's this idea that we are not concrete beings. We're not robots, you know, that need somebody else to change us.
Yeah, fantastic. So I just wanted to mention to those watching, so our festival, Let's Get Real, is happening starting this weekend, and Dr. Susan Hillier will be opening and giving us more in-depth information about neuroplasticity. And what the presenters are doing is sharing some of the research that's out there at the moment and then giving us practical tools to take away and help this neuroplasticity happen and change our brains, which is really exciting. So it's from the 10th to the 15th of March next week. So the next question I have for you, could you tell us a little bit about your work at the university and how long you've been working in this field?
So I trained originally as a physio, and I always worked in the area of neurology, which means the area where working with people who have had problems with their brain or the nervous system in general. So I've always had this interest in it. And certainly when I was taught, which is a long time ago, we were taught under that old hierarchical reflexive kind of theory about the way the brain is organised. And the ideas and the research that then came out in the 80s and 90s has really kind of flipped that all away, that we're not reflexive beings. We're not made up of reflexes. We do self-reflect. Reflexive has two different meanings. And this was so exciting for us as physios, therapists working in rehabilitation with people whose brains had been damaged in some way, whether it's by a car accident or a stroke or something, because it meant that there was this possibility for someone with an injured brain to undergo, kind of rehab and different kinds of approaches and training and learning to overcome some of the deficits that had happened because of the brain damage. So it's not like that there's a real healing. It's actually about the brain learning to work in a different way despite its damage is the really exciting thing for us as therapists working in this area. So our research has been very much about, well, what are the best conditions? What are the best ways that people can train, can learn, can practice, can move, can think? What are the best ways that will facilitate the best kind of change in their brain? Because if we don't do anything, our brains are plastic, and they will change if we do nothing. They'll get worse. They will, it's a kind of a use it or lose it sort of principle with neuroplasticity. So then if we use it to improve it, how do we best make use of our brains in order to improve them in the best way possible? So examples, I guess, are the conditions for learning. So people who've had a stroke in particular are the people that we've been working with and for in our research, and looking at the kinds of rehab that is more likely to help them change their brains for the better. So we know that if they do nothing or they just use their unaffected side a lot, their brains will change and get more and more one-sided, as it were. Yes. If we can offer some therapy that encourages them to use the side that they're not using as much, that really helps. We've done a lot of work about getting sort of the intensity right, like how much do you need to do to change your brain, that kind of thinking, which is it's a kind of a simple question. It's not a simple answer. And so how much activity do you need to do? What kinds of activity are most likely to produce these more positive changes? So really, fundamentally, we're asking what's the best ways for people to learn when they've had a brain incident.
Amazing. And that's one of the reasons why I came to Feldenkrais in the first place. My mum had a stroke. So
I've forgotten that.
She's still struggling with one side of her body.
Yeah. So you would know firsthand. Yeah, it's really challenging for her to find ways to use her body, particularly the body that's hard to move. So we all know we try and move things in the easiest way possible. So if your one arm isn't working as easily as the other, then you're going to keep using the easy arm. And that's called learned non-use, but it's a learned thing, you know. So we keep coming back to the L word. It's all about learning.
Yeah, it's all about learning. That's maybe leading into the next question I have for you. What's the most important thing that people need to know about neuroplasticity, or what is the thing that people get confused or don't understand about it? Do you think we've already answered that?
Yeah, huge question. So people think it's something magic or something they can buy, or, there's been a, can I get a pill? It's a bit like saying, can I get a pill to help me learn better? Not really. Why it's really important is that we understand that it's not magic. The short answer is that often it's a lot of hard work. When I say hard work, that means persistence. And the best evidence that's coming out that people, it's important for people to understand, is that persistence and practice around learning, changing your brain, is the most important thing. And funnily enough, one of the most important things is to actually understand and believe that it's possible. So there's been some studies around, simply educating students that, it is possible to change their brains helps them with their mental health. So that if they are in a period of life when they're feeling depressed or anxious because they've just started university or something, and you give them a workshop about, well, this is not how you are. It's a state that you're currently in, and these things are constantly changing in your brain and in your body, that you can influence this simply having that knowledge is probably one of the most key things. So you could say that's hope, you could say that's understanding, you could say that's knowledge, whatever you want to call it. That's the start, is the start that if I can become more aware of what is happening inside of me and outside of me, and that I have the possibility of making different choices and practicing different thoughts and different emotions and different movements and different tasks and different habits, that all of these things can change.
Amazing. Yes, definitely. It definitely helps me when I'm in one of those pickles, life pickles that we all struggle with.
And looking, this is kind of an ancient wisdom, isn't it, that, you know, we're not the first person to say this too shall pass, but it's true in the brain, this too shall pass, this thought shall pass, this mood shall pass. So that's such a key, it's a, such a key beginning.
Exactly. So the last question I have for you today is about Feldenkrais. In Feldenkrais, we could say that one, that we do active learning really with an attitude of play. How does active learning impact the brain plasticity?
Yeah, so as we're starting to understand more about what leads to more beneficial widespread changes in the brain, we're understanding the conditions for that. One of them is a sense of curiosity, actually, because literally what that does is kind of open us up to contemplating different kinds of connections, different kinds of how those manifest, different thoughts, different ways of seeing things. So if you think about a different way of seeing something, it actually comes out of a different wiring in your brain. You know, these two things are two sides of the same coin. So this idea of play is really important because it opens us up to a more creative way of changing our brain. Of course, we can learn something through rote learning, like I'll just, you know, do my times tables 100 times and yes, I will learn them. But if we play with it, there's something about the level of our attention and intention, and we know that that really influences positive benefit from a neuroplastic point of view. And if it's something is meaningful, like if we're enjoying it and we're engaged, then it's more likely to have positive changes as well. So this idea of being actively engaged and play with curiosity and keeping the judgment out and kind of engaging with this very sort of I don't want to say neutral because it sounds a bit bland, but, you know, not going into judgment or criticism or this is really good or this is really bad, but just going, what is this? This is really interesting. This is curious. That is kind of the substrate for really the potential for our brains to really change.
Yeah, amazing. One of the presenters, her topic is on curiosity and neuroplasticity. Fantastic. So exciting. Yeah. And what's funny is I actually had a little conversation with my son this morning. He's not enjoying it more. And I said, yeah, the whole system needs to be upheaved. You know, I'm from the education world and I'm in the arts world, and that's what we do through arts. We creative, we play, there's all that critical thinking skills, and yet so many schools are cutting some of the arts activities, especially the one that I love, dance, that I taught dance. And he's like, yeah, why am I learning my times tables instead of, you know, practical life skills that are going to help me in my future? So yeah, even at 9 years old, he understands that, you know.
it would be a way of, and I know there's a lot of education systems that are tapping into how can we make that kind of maths playful, you know, how can it have meaning, how can we be curious about it, so that he understands that if he's, you know, choosing a dozen eggs and he wants to get, you know, however many, and he has to times it by two to get two dozen eggs, or, you know, you know, that we're not, Feldenkrais isn't the only approach, educational approach, that really recognises that children's brains, they want to know, why do I need to know this? Like, you know, what is the benefit for this? You know, where's this going to take me? What's it going to afford me? So that that gives it meaning, and then meaning is also another really important, ingredient for learning. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And with the... Where the world's going with AI, we do need those critical creative thinking skills to be able the jobs that they're going to be going for, my 9-year-old, haven't even been created yet. So
no, that's right. Yeah, and what makes us so distinctly human is this curiosity, isn't it? This wanting to know why, this wanting to look under the bonnet, wanting to be better, you know, the wanting to improve ourselves, the wanting to you know, explore and have adventures and all those sorts of things. You'd like to think that's what makes us human. So in a way you could say that all this is about finding our humanity, if I can get that big, you know, so that we're not robots, we're not chat GPTs, we don't just regurgitate other things, we actually, you know, create new.
Exactly. What a fantastic conversation. I'm really looking forward to your presentation opening the festival this Sunday for me, Saturday night for the USA. The replays will be up in the festival. So again, our festival is from March 10th to 15th. At the moment, we have $9 tickets for the first 100, and then they go up to full price. And we do have a little competition. So if you go check out the page, I'll drop the link in the below this video, and you know one of the presenters, go ask for their affiliate link, because we have a competition of who can bring the most first people in the $100 sale tickets, which is exciting. And they've got a bit of a competition between everyone. So later today, we are going to go into the Movement Online Academy and experience a Feldenkrais lesson, one from Ralph Haddon, who's actually a Feldenkrais trainer, and we are doing one called Clarifying the Toes. And some of the feedback we got because what we're doing, Susan, is we are doing the lesson and then giving, you know, talking about how we felt after, and then we're offering it to the community. So this is what some people said: the difference between the beginning and the end with my right foot is really interesting. I have toes. I could really, it's going to be a great lesson. I could really feel at the end my whole right side just relax and feel really pleasant, and could feel comparison. And it's nice playing with the fingers and the toes. So if you want to have some toe play, feel more clarity, come along. You just join you can join for free, movementonlineacademy.com, and that's where the 20 minute lessons that we're offering. So is there any last words you'd like to share with the audience before we jump off, Susan?
Well, you know, one of my favorite things is about enjoy. You know, if you're enjoying what you're doing, as we all know, again, this is one of those sort of universal truths that we kind of know, but we need to be reminded, is take some time out for yourself and enjoy, because that in time invested in yourself, as you've just heard from those quotes, you'll feel different. You'll feel a difference. You'll feel better. You'll actually experience what we're talking about in the way that you experience your body. Great. Enjoy.
Yay. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. And I'll just add, so going into this festival period, launching like we're doing online, there's a lot of behind the scenes work. It's stressful. You know, you're under the pump. And I said to the team, I said, I need to be getting on the floor. So that's why we're doing these 2-minute lessons. I'm like, you're coming with me. We're going to do the lessons. We're going to offer it in the community. So we've been doing 2 a day for the last 2 weeks, which has just been lovely and keeps me calm and focused. And
great. Great. That's good. That's good.
Makes such a difference.
Yeah, perfect.
Thanks for joining me, and go grab your tickets, people, and join us for the festival. Thanks again.
Thanks, Angela.
Bye.
Bye-bye.